But we had hoped, Luke 24, 13 to 35, Christ is risen. He is. And the text from Acts is in the was in our scripture reading today. We've been looking at Acts the last couple Sundays. We'll do that again next week. But this week I wanted to look at the text that comes from Luke, from our gospel text today, which goes back to the night of, or the day of Jesus' resurrection, kind of later in the day. The last couple Sundays we've heard some of the preaching about the resurrection and some interaction with the authorities about that preaching. The scripture reading today from Acts was from the day of Pentecost, kind of the last part of Peter's sermon that was telling the people, this is what happened with Jesus, and then he rose again, but this is for you, and repent and believe what has been told to you today. So today we go back to that day of the resurrection. And if we think about the sequence of events in this day, the point that we get at which we get to our text is that we have heard and read about, if we're reading through the gospel text in Luke, we found that some women have gone to the tomb to put spices. They went to the tomb early Sunday morning, as they could not go Saturday during the Sabbath, and so they went early Sunday morning to put spices on Jesus' body, and they found that the tomb was empty. It was open, it was empty. And they came back and they told the disciples that were gathered together. And they didn't really fully believe right there. This was kind of a crazy thought. But a couple of them at least, Peter and John, went to check it out. And they also found the tomb empty. At this point, though, reading through, we notice that so far, no one has yet seen Jesus that Luke has told us about. And so we find the story that he is alive, but people have still not yet seen him. They're waiting. They're confused. They're worried. They're scared. There's a lot of things going on. And that's where we get to our text this morning. Luke 24, 13 to 35. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that. Luke 24, 13 to 35, reading in Jesus' name. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Clopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us as we hear the account of these two on the road that encountered Jesus and were encouraged by what he had to say and share, and then by the others as they got back together. I ask that you would help us and guide us, that we would be encouraged as well by what we hear today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and I'll invite any of the kids that want to come up to the front. We have two more coming up over here. Come on up. A little bit light today. It's okay. You guys want to come over this way a little bit? Yeah, come over this way. Come on over this way. Come on over. All right. There we go. Hey, have you guys ever had something that you hoped would happen and then it didn't kind of happen the way you wanted it to? Maybe a little bit different? You probably had some of that. The other day, a little bit ago was Samuel's birthday. Our Samuel, his birthday was a couple weeks ago. And we ordered, it was hard to find, but we found a game that he wanted and we ordered that game, but it wasn't going to be there by his birthday. It was going to come later. And so I told him, we ordered this game, and it will come. We just don't know when it's going to come yet. We don't have shipping information yet or anything like that. And then about a week later, sometime later, a birthday card came for Samuel in the mail. So it was kind of like this. There was also a package that was at the house. And so I came into the house, and I said, Samuel, I have something for you. What do you think he thought was for him? The envelope or the package? He thought it was maybe the game, right? So he was thinking, the package is here, it's my game. And I said, here you go. And then I realized what he was thinking, and I thought, oh, sorry about that. Sorry to raise your hopes about the game being here, and it wasn't. Now, maybe you were hoping you would find out what's in the box. It's still sealed. It's actually just communion supplies. It happened to be still packaged. It worked as an illustration, so that's all that's in it. It's just communion cups. That's what's in there, communion cups. Yeah, we needed to get some more, so we got some more. Here they are. That's all that's in there. So, but we're thinking today about things that we hope might happen. Now, you can encourage Samuel and say, the game will come. It still isn't here yet. We're still waiting. The game will come, right? But we're thinking today about things that we hope for that don't exactly happen. But God has something better for us often. A lot of times he has something even better than we can think of and imagine and hope for. So I'm going to put that here, and let's see here. Would you like to hand a few of those out? Okay. All right. That's probably enough. You guys can, I'll give a couple. You won't have anybody to hand them to if I, there we go. Okay, thanks for coming up, guys. Anybody want to, you want to take some extras back with you? You could go see if anybody else wants those. Maybe any of the grown-ups want them. All right. But we had hoped, was the phrase that the men said. January 15th, 2018, early in the morning, I got up. I plugged headphones into my phone, my cell phone. I put them in, and I turned on what was streaming later, the Vikings radio broadcast. I had NFL Game Pass. We were living in Chad, in Boca Raton, Chad. I had NFL Game Pass, but it was the internet connection was too slow. I could only listen to the audio. I could not watch any of the games. And this particular game, if you remember the date, it was actually the day before that the game was played, divisional round game of the Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints, a playoff game. And I just had the audio. I was listening to it. But as I was partway through the game, my phone died. So I needed to go charge my phone so I could finish hearing what happened in the game. And so I plugged in my phone in the kitchen. And as I turned Game Pass back on, for some reason, I'm not sure why, maybe it did it automatically or maybe I just tried it just to see, but I turned on video to see if it would work. And guess what? We had just been upgraded to 3G in the village. And so it worked. Video worked. I got it. And I was able to watch that last part of the game that most of you probably know what I'm talking about. There was a very well-known catch right at the end of the game. Case Keenum to Stephon Diggs down to the end zone to win the game with the touchdown, the Minneapolis Miracle. Very exciting, very exciting. And then the next week, you probably remember what happened the next week too. You know, the good thing about having Game Pass and watching a condensed version is the game of the game is that the very bad games go by more quickly than you get to the end of them. Because the next week, of course, was a terrible collapse to the Eagles. And the thing is that if the Vikings had won that game, they could have been the first NFL team to play a Super Bowl in their own stadium. And I was thinking, but we had hoped. We had hoped. It didn't happen. Picture a gentleman with a physical ailment coming to a healing service. People have been healed of sicknesses. People say, there's this guy here that's preaching and people are being healed. And he thinks, now is his chance. And he comes to the front and then nothing happens. Nothing happens. He doesn't get healed from what is going on in his body. And the response then is, well, you know, I guess we'll keep praying for you, but I guess maybe you just didn't have enough faith. Because after all, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. The scripture is quoted to this man. And he thinks, oh, is that all there is? Did I really not have enough faith? Is that what happened? But we had hoped. We had hoped. Or you hear a preacher talking about how to be successful in life. Just believe it. Just have faith. Ask God for what you want. Name what you want. Claim it, because God has promised. In fact, he says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. What a great word. If you believe it and you trust God, you can have what you want, right? You'll be successful in life. Whatever you do will prosper. But then there are financial struggles. Or maybe other struggles in life that are not so financial, relational, or others. And think, but we had hoped. Well, we have right now, currently, one neighbor up the street from us, and a friend that I know as well in another town in Minnesota. Both of them running for political office, looking to be the representative in the state legislature for their district within the state. And opposite political parties, interestingly enough, but they're both hoping to be the candidate for their party, going to represent their area, both with visions for what they hope to see happening within our state. And as we think about things that go on in politics, as we think about war, as we think about all sorts of other things that happen in this world around us that are affected by government officials and who's elected and all of these different things, sometimes the person that we think will do the best wins, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes we're happy, and sometimes we're not. Sometimes the person that we want wins and they don't do what we want. Or sometimes the person that we don't want wins and, yeah, we might not want to admit it, but maybe they do something we like. But things don't always happen the way we want. We hope for the best. We hope for the best person to do the best job. That's what we want. Sometimes they don't do the best job. Sometimes they don't get in the office. When things are not going well, especially when we're thinking, oh, these things affect all of us in our lives, we can be discouraged and we think, but we had hoped. Almost 16 years ago, I answered the phone. I remember being in, we had a main level and then one room up in the second level. And I was up there. It's kind of a long room, long and narrow room, kind of our TV room. Early on when Mandy and I were married, and I answered the phone, and as I answered the phone, I heard my sister yelling my name, Danny! And I didn't understand the situation. I thought she was just joking around, so I yelled her name back in the phone. Well, it turns out I was trying to gather, okay, something's not quite what I thought. Turns out, as a neighbor got on the phone, a neighbor of hers said that she wasn't yelling, she was crying. Her husband of less than 2 years had died suddenly. Heart stopped, just collapsed in the morning. And she had called me. She needed to call somebody. She tried my brother. He wasn't able to answer right at the moment. She tried me, and I answered the phone. And she was shaken by what had happened. We all were shaken by what had happened. The life they had planned together early in marriage, thinking they might have children together, they didn't at the time. They didn't yet. So there were no children to think of in the picture. But she was hoping for that. They were looking for a life together. And it was ended suddenly. No warning. But we had hoped. You might be able to think of any of these different examples. You may be able to think of examples from your own life or from others that you know that end this way or that have things like them in this way where you think, we had hoped. And maybe it's just as insignificant as the Super Bowl, or maybe it's as significant as losing somebody that's important in your life. But we had hoped, and it's not fulfilled. Our text today, we heard about the road to Emmaus, this town not too far from Jerusalem. Two followers of Jesus, not among the 12, those that were closest to him, but the next tier out, those that heard his teaching and were with him and had hoped in who he was, that he would lead them to something good. They were walking along discussing what had happened in the last few days, and Jesus came along. And they were kept from recognizing who it was. And he asked them, what are you discussing as you walk along the road? And with their faces downcast, they said, are you only a visitor? These were such huge things that had happened in Jerusalem in the previous few days. And so, you know, they told him. Jesus of Nazareth, he was a powerful prophet in word and deed. People recognized that. People were flocking to him. The leaders of the people had handed him over to be crucified by the Roman rulers. As they talk about all this, they say the phrase, the sentence, but we had hope. Contrary to what they saw happening, they saw Jesus die. That's what they saw. But we had hoped that he was to redeem Israel. And the conclusion of that idea is, but now he can't. And what will happen? But we had hoped. And they say, now it's even the third day since that. There's really no hope. We're just losing hope of anything good. But then this morning, something strange. Some of the women in our group, they went down to the tomb, they came back and they said it was empty. Some of the others among us went down, they had a message from some angels that said he's alive. It's all confusing. Some others went down and they saw the tomb also empty. And we hear their sentiment too. And we find it in our own lives. But we had hoped. It's important to recognize those things that we hope for and don't see. It's important to recognize that many of them are very good things that we hope for and don't have happen. Maybe even those that are taken away from us. Maybe it's good to know that there is something even better than those things that we might hope for many of them. A better hope is what we can have. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? They had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. But maybe it wasn't too late for that. Jesus says, that's right what was happening. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And there are many that we could look at. We might think of the Old Testament as being, in many ways, just a book of rules and demands and condemnation. But there's much more that's going on there. Jesus, I'm sure, he probably took them to Leviticus 17, where we find the people recognizing their sin, and God gives them a way so that their sin can be taken away and they can actually approach him and be close to him. There are two goats. One is offered as a sin offering to take on their sins and be killed, and the blood is sprinkled on the altar to purify them and make them acceptable in a way to be in God's presence. Another goat is offered as a scapegoat, and in a symbolic way, the priest puts the sins of the people, the rebellion of the people, on the head of that goat, and it is taken into the wilderness away from the people, so that their sins are away from them, taken away. And we see those things happening in Jesus' life as he takes on both of those roles and the other roles of sacrifice that we see given in the Old Testament. Psalm 22 is seen by Jesus' followers as they're explaining what happened to him, and is seen by us as well as a psalm that's written by David in a time of trouble, and yet, in a way, speaking of and by Christ. Verse 1 says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Which we recognize as the words that Jesus spoke on the cross. "Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning?" And verses 6 through 8 say, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." And if you remember the words that we read as we prepare for communion, as we did last week, those are almost word for word what some of those in Jesus' presence at the cross said about and to him. Verses 15 to 18 say, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." Which the gospel writers have pointed to as indicating that's what happened to Jesus. That was a fulfillment. As they divided up, as the soldiers that crucified him divided up his clothing among them. Isaiah 53, we can go there. Verse 3 says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Verses 4 to 6 say, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He did that for us, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." The exchange of the sacrifice, one for another. "We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each of us to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Verse 7 says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He did not object to this. "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." The Messiah who would redeem Israel in the way that these followers of Jesus thought? No. But the one who would redeem Israel and the world? Yes, very much so. Not the Messiah they were looking for, not the life that we are looking for sometimes. But God has more through it all. If we think about Isaiah 53 still, verses 10 to 12 say this, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." The things that we hope for in this life are often only for this life. And when this life is over, those things are gone. But God has more for us, and something that is more sure than anything we can have in this life. As Jesus finished his conversation with these men on the road, and they were going into the place that they were going to stay, he acted like he was going on. But they invited to come in and stay with them. And so he joined them. And as he shared the meal. Now, whether it was the action of breaking the bread as he had done with them at other times, or whether there was just something else, that it was the time for them to recognize who he was. He had accomplished what he needed to do, and now was a time for them to recognize him as he helped them to recognize who he truly was and who he is. They recognize him spiritually, and now they recognize him visibly. And they ask each other as he disappeared from their midst, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us? And they just left where they were staying. It was too big a news. They went back to Jerusalem, got with the others, and said, this is what happened. And they find the news. Hey, he appeared to Simon too. And then we keep reading. We find that he appears to all of them there too. And they see him alive. They see Jesus alive. The hopes of this life, whatever it is that we might be thinking, but we had hoped, these hopes can fade quickly when they don't happen. Especially when they don't happen, but even when they do, as often the things that we hope for, what we hope for in them doesn't last. The hopes can fade quickly. But God gives a hope that if we hear it and receive it, it will burn within us. Excitement for something that will not fade, and something that is sure to happen. There is no question about whether it will. A football game, health, wealth, politics, even life and death. When the hopes of this life fade or don't materialize in the way that we would like, or even are painfully ripped away, be encouraged by a better hope that Jesus gives us, an eternity with him, and the opportunity to live this life in view of that eternity, a better hope. One that will last with Jesus, who is risen. He is risen. He is. Father, thank you for the conversation that Jesus had with these two on the road. And even though we don't know the exact scriptures that he shared with them, we do have the scriptures. And we can go and find all the places where you are talked about, both in the Old Testament and then as we read the story of Jesus, your son, in the New. We thank you that we have that story for us, written to us. Thank you that of all the things we hope for in this life, life with you is the best one that we could even have. Thank you that it is a sure hope if we are trusting in you. I ask that you would encourage that faith and trust in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.